If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still here, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of the Lord.
True love is unconditional, right? The word "if" does not seem to fit very well with regard to unconditional love. But there it is, right in John 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. As Miriam said last week, John may be writing his gospel 60 years or so after Jesus was among them, among the disciples. So that's a challenge to recall some things. Do you remember what you had for dinner last night? But that is how John writes it down. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we love Jesus, we should brace ourselves to obey his commandments. So here we go. Just a chapter later in John chapter 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Or Matthew 22, 37, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, the good rabbi, referencing Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Or Mark chapter 12, verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Or Luke chapter 10, he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Shall I go on? And John writes in his first epistle, beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. So it seems that Jesus and John, they are pretty firm about love. At the time John was writing this, the church was in very real danger. To proclaim this new message of Jesus, even 60 years after he was among them, was considered subversive, and the followers of this new way were putting their lives on the line. The method of resistance? Love. I forgot another commandment of Jesus. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, loving our neighbors can be hard. No offense, Clemens. But loving our enemies? Wow. It's going to require more than I can muster. I'll need something more to be able to even try to measure up to that commandment. To love my enemies and to pray for those who persecute me. And I will ask God, who will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees the Spirit of truth nor knows the Spirit of truth. You know this Spirit because this Spirit of truth abides in you and will be in you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will show me the way to love even my enemies and to pray even for those who persecute me. The advocate, one who walks with you on your behalf, with your best interests at heart. In John's context, one who abides within you, in union with you and with God, and with your best interests at heart. Advocate, one who walks among us on behalf of all of us. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So what is the work of the Spirit? To walk with us, to be in us on our behalf, to teach us everything and remind us of everything that Jesus said. Teaching and reminding, teaching and reminding, the work of the Advocate, the work of the Holy Spirit. Remind us of everything that Jesus has said. For example, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Spirit will remind us of this. The Spirit will teach us what this means. So what does the work of the Advocate look like? You know, in real life. These words of love are really life-giving. But what does it look like, really, the work of this Advocate, incarnate? What does it really look like? How can I touch it, and how can I feel it? How does it become incarnate and tangible? This past week has been a week of remembrance. I remember what a gift it has been to walk with our World War II veterans for most of the years I've been your pastor. And this past week, we remembered and observed the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to walk with the veterans in our midst from every conflict. But in particular, I was thinking about World War II. I thought a lot about George Hartman, a World War II veteran, a World War II prisoner of war, a World War II hero. George was featured in documentaries and publications. So what do I remember most? This noble veteran has been our strongest voice for peace. His prophecy came along later in his life. As I recall, it became more of a reality after we invaded Iraq. War is not the answer, George proclaimed. War does not accomplish anything. And the Advocate reminds us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I am a lover of peace. This is a community of peace. Peace lives here. Peace for anyone who walks in our doors or we greet in our beloved community. George is still that advocate of the Holy, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the context of the peace that we embrace, that prophecy that we embrace. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, was incarnate in George. And I know the Advocate is incarnate in Celia Borgman. I don't see Celia this morning. It's probably a good thing. Celia's been a member here for 72 years. One would think that would slow one down a little after 90 plus years of life. Celia has walked with all the changes and evolution that Covenant represents, and she has walked with humor and grace and hard work and commitment. This past Thursday, she was out hoeing weeds at Seeds of Hope Community Garden after checking on her own raised bed, making our community more beautiful and nutritious and life-giving. Hear this quote. The poor need beauty as much as bread because they live in the midst of ugliness. Martin Luther. Let's face it, there's a lot of ugliness around here. We could get so discouraged by all of it. But this beautiful place, on this beautiful corner, and that beautiful garden is transformative. And there's Celia, an advocate incarnate for all of it. I've got a picture on my phone. I'll show it to you after worship if you'd like to see it. But it's Celia Borgman and Willie, our neighbor. Willie's a regular part of our Seeds of Hope Community Garden. Is he on the board for CCD? Also on the board for Coalition for Community Development. I've got a picture of them of Celia and Willie at Celia's raised bed. And they're both bent over planting seeds, planting vegetables, and the picture is just the tops of their heads, bent over the garden. And that's the reign of God. That's the reign of God. And here she is in all her years. Celia delights in the children in our midst and greets them all. I put these cool shoes on for coffee a couple weeks ago, and no one enjoyed them more than Celia, the advocate incarnate in Celia. Happy birthday, Bill. You two are the advocate incarnate here. You and Avis have walked with this faith community through thick and thin. You teach us faithfulness, and you teach us that same peace. You taught Miriam and me and a whole lot of others how to be good parents. You taught me not to raise too much hell when I go on vacation. And you are the rudder of stability in this community. We know that as a community, and I know that personally. I remember it was time for Isaac to start Hope College, and I walked up to you at coffee time, and I said, Bill, I don't know how we're going to do this. And you said, don't worry about it. I said, but Bill, if things go as planned, we're going to have 3 kids at Hope College at the same time. He said, don't worry about it. He was right. It all worked out. And just a month or two ago, I went out to Bill during coffee, and I said, man, Bill, budget's really hurting. I'm anxious and worried about our finances. And he just said, don't worry about it. And then he changed the subject. Went on to something else. Because he knows. This faithfulness has taught him, and your faithfulness has taught me. Your faithfulness has taught all of us. And you, Bill, are only grateful, even after your greatest loss, for the beloved family that surrounds you today and the beloved faith family that surrounds you every Sunday. Like the advocate, you walk alongside your family with their best interests held deep in your heart. And like the advocate, you walk alongside and within your covenant faith community with their best interests and call and well-being held deep in your heart. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, teaches us and reminds us of all these words of Jesus, words of love, commands of love, words of grace, words of inclusion, words of radical hospitality, words of regard for those at the margins. We have so many who have gone before and have gone before us and have brought us to where we are today, leaning hard into our 100th year of ministry here on this corner. It's Pentecost. Could only do that for so long. We celebrate the ways the advocate has brought us to where we are. We celebrate George and Celia and Bill and so great a cloud of witnesses who have enabled us to be who we are this day because they have been advocates for us all along the way. as we lean hard into 100 years on this corner. So we know that the years to come will bring different challenges and opportunities that will change us and continue to evolve us. So the caterpillar is having a glass of wine with the butterfly. "You've changed," observes the caterpillar. "We're supposed to," replied the butterfly. "And that will be okay. Because by the Spirit and the Advocate, by the Spirit, the Advocate, we remember that all is well, and that in all manner of things, all will be well." And let all God's children say, Amen. Amen.